We are going to hear God's word read to us, and the first reading is going to include our memory verse. Samuel's going to come up and read to us as we continue our sermon series from Genesis and the life of Abram called Blessed to be a Blessing.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 20. Yeah. It's found on page 15 of the Church Bibles. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the east and Ai on the west and Ai in the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she was my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. The next reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. It's on page 1084 of the Church Bible. 1384, sorry. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We were going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause and we reflect on your word, I pray that you will give us eyes to see what kind of God you are. I pray that you will give us the ability to honestly reflect on ourselves. I pray that you will move us to love you and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a question. How do you respond when you sense some sort of threat? At different times in life, we might face different kinds of threats. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you've felt physically threatened and you've wondered, is this the time to adopt the Karate Kid pose? Maybe there's been times in your life when you've felt like there's a financial threat, like your job or your business is looking really shaky. Maybe you've experienced the threat of fire or flood or cancer or crime. How do you respond? For some people, going into self-preservation mode is most naturally a turning in and a withdrawing from others. For others, self-preservation mode is more about directing your energies outward and going on the attack. I wonder, where does God come in when you sense danger? Today, our focus is Genesis chapter 12, and particularly verses 10 through to 20, which is about a time when Abram faced danger. And so I wonder if we could all open our Bibles, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, and have a think about this story. It's a story where God teaches us to let our lives be driven by faith rather than fear. And you'll see that this is our missionary month, our missionary convention. You'll see that this story has a missionary aspect to it as well. What I want to do is I want to point out four things from our passage. And then after that, I want to help you think through how we can respond with faith when we sense danger. Do you remember where we've been last week? The theme was subtract in order to multiply. It was all about how God called Abram to leave his home and go to a new land. Our memory verse, God promised to bless Abram and to use Abram as his channel of blessing for all the nations of the world. And so Abram went. He faithfully obeyed. He's arrived in the promised land. But not everything is going well, because there is a famine in the promised land. I remember Abram is a herder, so his business is sheep and goats and cattle. And so in this time of famine, he not only has to find food for himself and his household, he's got to find a way to feed his sheep and goats and cattle, which is pretty hard when there's not been much rain and all the ground's going dry. And so Abram decides he's going to move to Egypt. Egypt isn't so affected by lack of rain because Egypt is fed by this ginormous river. But Egypt brings another kind of danger. Have a look at verse 11. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live." See, in the ancient world, it was brutal. If a king wanted to take a woman, he would just take the woman. And so Abram's afraid. And for us, as we read through this book, we recognize this is not only a personal crisis for Abram. in a sense, this is a crisis for all of humanity. Because remember the story of Genesis is the story of what we see, that all of creation, all the world is in some way under the curse of sin, and the only hope for God's blessing that we have is centered on this guy Abram and his offspring. And so the big theme of this whole section of Genesis that we're doing this month, the big theme is, if Abram dies without children, then the one hope we have for the world is lost. So how's Abram going to respond to this threat? Well, he comes up with a cunning plan, a plan for self-preservation. Verse 13. Say you're my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. His plan is to deceive the Egyptians. Have you ever done that? You've been afraid, and in your fear, truth is the first casualty. I remember a time when I was at junior high school. And there were not very many Christians at this school. And those of us who were Christians weren't really, you know, we didn't advertise it so much. And I remember one time, there was some school function on a Sunday. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember why. But I do remember on Monday, one of the tough guys at school saying, "Hey, why weren't you there?" And I remember just being too scared to say, because I was at church. And so I just lied. I came up with some story, something football. But this is not a great strategy for evangelism. Did you know that in the Bible, the opposite of faith, something like we kind of think, oh, the opposite of faith, that's doubt, isn't it? But usually in the Bible, the opposite of faith is fear. We saw that in our New Testament reading. Remember, the disciples, they're in the storm, they're panicking, and Jesus says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" See, in that time, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he has got this. In the same way, we need to learn that even when there's danger, God cares for us. God is faithful. God is wise in everything that he allows. God will never leave us, his people. And so we can always trust in him. Now, I'm not suggesting that Abram has no faith. It's just that in this moment, his faith is weak. I mean, Abram is famous as the man of faith. And the first half of the chapter, what we looked at last week, is all about his faith and all about how Abram trusted God and left his homeland behind. But Abram's faith hasn't yet grown mature and consistent. It's up and down. I'm saying for us, if you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've received the Holy Spirit, that's because you have faith. You are a person who trusts in God. And faith doesn't have to be strong faith to be saving faith. I mean, as an example, maybe I've used this example before, but take this chair. This chair. I could approach this chair with a very weak faith. I could look at the chair and say, you know, I'm not sure that this chair is strong enough to hold me. I mean, is it going to collapse? Am I going to end up on the floor? And just really careful, lots of caution. But it holds me. Or I can just approach this chair with boldness, plonk myself down. It's a strong chair. See, the thing that holds me up is not my faith, not the strength of my faith. It's the strength of the chair. And in the same way, we are saved because of Jesus and the strength of his finished work in the cross and the resurrection. The strength of our faith isn't what decides whether we're saved or not. But even though a weak faith saves us, it's so much better to learn to live with strong faith. I mean, can you imagine if every time I came to a chair that I had to examine it and poke it and look underneath it and turn it upside down and sort of psych myself up to sit on the chair, that'd be an exhausting way to live. And so the issue that this passage brings up, it's not whether Abram's saved or not. It's not asking the question whether we have faith, but it's asking, are we learning to live by that faith? Especially it's asking the question, will we let faith direct our lives when we sense some sort of danger? Because isn't it true? If I ask any of you Christians, do you believe that God is loving and wise and watches over you? I'm sure that if I went around and I asked, any of you, I'm sure that you would say yes. But functionally, in practice, don't we often let our lives be directed by fear rather than faith? Sometimes in God's wise plans, he brings us into situations which kind of reveal how weak our faith is. Sometimes we think our faith is stronger than it actually is. Sometimes God shows us how much growing we still have to do, learning to rely on him. So Abram is a man who is saved by faith, but in this passage, he's not managing his family by faith. And it's interesting to see who suffers because of this. Because basically, Abram's plan is to sacrifice his wife to save himself. And when Pharaoh's men come knocking, he doesn't speak up. He doesn't say, guys, stop, this is actually my wife. Just lets her go. I mean, isn't the husband supposed to be the protector? Abram actually does pretty well out of his cunning plan. Abram's business booms. Have a look at, what verse is it? Verse 16. Abram's getting more sheep and more cattle and more donkeys and more servants. Abram's doing well, but it's his wife Sarai who suffers. And Sarai suffers, and also the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. Have a look at verse 17 and the impact on Pharaoh's family. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. Now, is this fair? Well, Pharaoh did the wrong thing. You can't just take whatever woman you want to take. But maybe he wouldn't have done that if Abram had been honest. And in our big story, Pharaoh's illness is a problem. Because do you remember the theme? Do you remember the memory verse? It's all about blessed to be a blessing. Through his deception, Abram's still being blessed. But is he being a blessing? It's quite the opposite, isn't it? Abram's getting rich, but the Egyptians are getting sick. And so do you see that in this story, there's no blessing to the nations because Abram has allowed his life to be directed by fear rather than faith. I mean, do you want to make a positive impact on the world? How can we expect to do that unless we're learning to live by faith rather than fear. I mean, it's the lesson of history. Take, for example, the Crusades. The Crusades, you look into the cause of the Crusades, really it was because of fear. It's because there was a Roman emperor who was afraid of the expansion of Islam, who was afraid of the weakness of his kingdom. And so in his fear, he brought together a response based on the sword rather than the gospel. And what's the result been? It hasn't been blessing to the Middle East. It's been just more war and poverty and actually a resistance to the gospel. More recent example, leadership within the Russian Orthodox Church, well, some of the senior leadership has chosen the path of self-preservation by supporting Putin. And is that leading to blessing to the world? No. I mean, they're sort of big geopolitical examples, but isn't it true that on the small personal scale, doesn't our witness suffer when we're ruled by fear about what people will think or how people will respond if we're open and honest about our faith and our hope in Jesus? On one level, this is a frustrating story because I suspect that we all identify with Abram. We get it. We've been there. And so this is a story which exposes our weakness in faith. But as always, there is good news. And the failure is not the end of the story. The good news in this passage is that God remains faithful to Abram. God is full of mercy. God's full of patience. God rescues Sarai in spite of the mess that Abram made. And as Abram and Sarai and all the people are being sent out of Egypt, they must have looked at each other and realized, wow, God's been gracious. He's giving us a second chance. And spoiler alert, this second chance will eventually mean that Abram and Sarai will build a family that will become a nation, just as God promised. Although the story of the rest of the, that's really the story of the rest of the Old Testament, and it's also a story that Abram's children will be just like him. They'll keep on messing up through lack of faith. But God will never give up on them. Instead, God's going to keep this line of Abram going until finally there's a child born who is truly full of faith. I mean, one thing this story shows that if there's going to be blessing to the nations, it's going to have to come through a deeper and a more consistent faith than Abram had. The Saviour will have to be greater than Abram, and so he is. Jesus, the Saviour, is the one man who fully and always trusted his Father. Jesus is, on one hand, he's a lot like the Abram we met in the first half of the chapter. Remember, Jesus left behind his home in heaven to follow the Father's plan. But on the other hand, Jesus is quite unlike the Abram that we've met today in the second half of the chapter. Because Jesus always spoke the truth. Jesus, his life story is full of examples of God's blessing being poured out. Because instead of what, you know, Abram brought illness on the Egyptians, what did Jesus bring? Healing. Healing to the blind and the disabled and the sick. And Jesus faced threats and danger. Jesus knew that if he went to Jerusalem, that's going to mean he's going to be taken and he's going to be killed. And Jesus was deeply troubled with this. Do you remember when he's praying, "If it's your will, Father, take this cup from me"? But instead of letting the fear direct his life and getting out, instead of Jesus choosing the path of self-preservation, what did he do? He said, "Yet not my will but yours be done." And Jesus went ahead and laid down his life for his bride. You know, Abraham sacrificed his bride to save himself. Jesus sacrificed himself to save his bride, the church. And so, through Jesus' complete life of faith, all the nations of the world are blessed with this offer of life to the full for all eternity, if you will trust in him. And so what's the take-home lesson for us today? Well, surely it's this. Live by faith, not fear, for the sake of the nations. If you want to be an instrument of God's blessing to the nations, learn to live by faith. I mean, it's natural that when we sense danger, we'll feel afraid. And there's not much we can do about that. Well, not much we can do about the fact that we'll feel afraid, but we can choose where is that feeling going to lead me? Will those feelings of fear direct my life? Will I make self-preservation my number one priority as I make my plans? Or will I remember, even though I'm afraid, God cares for me? Whatever happens, he's with me, he's watching me, he's wise. Yesterday at our prayer breakfast, I was thinking about how one of our missionaries illustrates the way that faith, not self-preservation, is the thing that makes mission happen. This is Mota Isaac Yat. I really need to get a newer photo of him. He came here from Sudan as a refugee. He became an Aussie citizen. He established a new life here. But God put it on his heart to go back and to share the gospel with his own people. And there's all sorts of dangers and risks involved with living where he does in a refugee camp on the border of Ethiopia. Isaac could have let his life be driven by fear. He could have made self-preservation his number one priority, stayed in Melbourne, he would still be saved, he would still be blessed by God. But here's the question. If he'd chosen that path, would he be a blessing to the people of the Gambela refugee camp? He would be blessed, but would he be a blessing? There's a resource that we have as New Testament believers that actually puts us in a better position than Abram. We actually have a reason to be more optimistic about growth in faith than even Abram did. Because we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. And when it comes to blessing to the nations, the Holy Spirit's a bit like, let me give you an example. A couple of times this year, I've been in a situation where I've had to pull the engine out of my car, and I don't have the strength to do that. It's like 150 kilos. I can't lift out an engine. So what did I do? I went to Jeff and said, Jeff, can I borrow your engine crane? And the engine crane, it multiplies. You pump it up. It's got a hydraulic lift. I can't lift the engine out on my own, but with the strength of the crane, I can. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is kind of like an engine crane. The Holy Spirit can multiply our strength when we ask him to give us Christ-like faith. And so, even though we're weak, even though we identify with Abram, we're not just limited to our own strength. We can ask for help. So when you're afraid, ask God for the strength that he provides, so that you of little faith can be enabled to be a blessing. Many of you know the story of the Ten Boom family. They were a family of Dutch Christians who helped Jews escape from Nazi-occupied areas during World War II. It was dangerous. Their house was raided a number of times. And there was this one time where two German soldiers came knocking on the door and they were looking for the teenage boys from the family so that they could arrest them. And anyway, the family had built this secret room under their kitchen. And so the brothers went down into the cellar. The sisters shut the trap door. They pulled a rug over it. They slid the kitchen table over the top of the rug. And the soldiers eventually came into the kitchen, saw the girls and said, "Where are your brothers?" And there was one of the daughters in the family. Her name was Betsy. And she had her conscience really stirred her that she had to tell the truth rather than lie. And so she said, "They're under the table." And the soldier looked at this little table, just went, "Ugh," turned around and walked out. She trusted God and he rescued them. Not that everything went well all the time in their lives. Betsy herself was eventually arrested. Betsy died in a concentration camp. So the lesson today, it's not if you act in faith, everything will always go well and be happy in your life. The lesson is, if you live by faith, your life will be fruitful. God will use you. God will use whatever's Christ-like in your life, he will use as part of his plan to bless the nations. Whatever in my life is evidence of Christ blesses the world. Whatever in my life is just me and my fear will not. Perhaps some of you, as you've thought about this passage, perhaps some of you are feeling convicted. And you're realizing, in some areas of my life, I'm just like Abram was. And so repent. Ask for God's forgiveness. Remember, he's the gracious God of second chances and third chances as we read through the life of Abram. God didn't give up on him. God didn't say, "Well, he's no good. I'll find someone else to work my plans through." No, God persevered with Abram. God will persevere with you. Don't get stuck in your past failures. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for help. Ask that he will keep teaching you to live by faith so that you can be fruitful. Our deeds of faith, I hope you've seen today, our deeds of faith are in one sense not for our own benefit. Because we're already saved. We're already secure. Our life of faith is for the sake of others, for the sake of our families, for the sake of the nations. Friends, God the Father loves you. God the Son has blessed you with an eternal hope. He lives in you by his Spirit, and so you can trust him always, so that his blessings will not only flow to you, but they will flow through you to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a good and gracious and patient and wise God you are. Father, I pray that you will strengthen us in our faith. Teach us to trust you in all situations. Teach us to live our lives in a way that reflects Jesus to the world. Use us, we ask, as instruments of your blessing and your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.